Hello, listeners, and welcome back to Notes and Checks, or Checks and Notes. I realized I switched both those words, I think, in the titles. So we're just going to say that, you know, the title is both. But I'm back after quite a long time, actually. Unfortunately, I did have an episode recorded with a guest that I was going to upload today. Unfortunately, I realized that the audio was not recorded properly, which is great. So we'll be re-recording that sometime soon and hopefully getting it back online. But in the meantime, I figured I'd just sit down here with my recording setup already set up and just rant and ramble for a little bit. This will be a slightly strange episode, so feel free to leave if it's not your tastes. But I have nothing prepped, I have no script, and I'm just going to talk for a while, so I hope you enjoy that. There was a couple topics I debated talking about today. I wanted to maybe talk about standing and kinning and shipping and the way that it intersects, but I think I actually touched through it relatively well last episode, and there's not a ton I can talk about more about it without just reiterating my points previously. I could definitely give you examples, more concrete examples, and kind of dig in deep, but I feel like I'd probably need to write a little bit for that to get my words in order and my thoughts in order. So instead, we're going to talk and get a little bit TMI today about my own experiences with shipping, with fandom, and kind of some trends that I have personally been a part of or have seen in myself. And just do some self-reflection, and kind of the why I want to do this is, if anyone's listening, which, I mean, this is a no-name podcast on the internet, so who knows who's listening, but if you're listening and you're part of fandom, and you maybe, you know, well, I've been talking in last episode, or in the previous episodes, or, you know, in the episodes that are going to come, you, like, hear something and you're a little taken aback, or you get defensive about it, or you just, you know, didn't realize it was a thing. I just kind of want to take this point to kind of do some self-reflection on myself, and perhaps you can do some self-reflection yourself about the stuff that I'm going to be talking about, to kind of see if there's any similar tripwires that you yourself have tripped over. Because I did want to cover some perhaps slightly controversial topics on my own discovery of fandom. In particular, I wanted to talk about the way that us as content creators, fandom creators, if you're female identifying, there can be kind of tripfalls that that get either put upon you by a wider audience, or that you put upon yourself. For example, when you're talking about shipping, there's a very large community for male and male shipping, but there's a very smaller community for female and female shipping. And part of that, I think there's a couple, you know, quite a few reasons, attributes that make up whatever conclusion you want to make for that. But part of it, and this has been kind of studied before and talked about a lot in spaces that I've been into, so I know I'm not the only one that has come to this conclusion, but there is a little bit of self-hatred involved in it. And particular, what I mean by that is there's this idea that society has told, you know, female-bodied or female-identifying people that their body is inherently bad. It is immoral in some way. You shouldn't show skin. You shouldn't, you know, you're either a sex object or you're a nun or any of these things. And, you know, we get objectified a lot and it's uncomfortable and it's gross. And we just learn to kind of hate our bodies in to a certain extent for a lot of us. Not saying everybody, but, you know, a lot of people grow up with these ideas of beauty and these standards and these gender roles that are just not possible. And it becomes this kind of thing where you start hating your body. Of course, shipping and fandom in general is fantasy. And so, you know, you're going to want to fantasize about the things you're most comfortable with, the things that you love the most, As much as, you know, some part of fandom is about experiencing things you normally wouldn't, or trying to experiment with uncomfortable feelings, thinking about any of the kind of darker fandom stuff out there. But for a lot of people, and a lot of shipping in particular, it's about fantasy. It's not really about the characters or the story or anything like that. It is literally just fantasy. And in a lot of cases, it's sexual fantasy. And if you're coming as a writer or as a fan artist, and you're not comfortable with your body, and you have grown up with the idea that it's this inherently immoral thing, which I know a lot of people have, you're not going to want to write or draw it. You're not going to want to identify with any point of the people in your fantasy. And if you're a female identifying creator, that means that you're going to want to draw and write and make content for males. And this is, you know, it's unfortunate for a lot of cases. And once again, this is a blanket statement. This is not for everyone. This is just kind of a personal thing I've noticed and that I know people have talked about before. But it also brings into this idea that as I've gotten older and as I've kind of moved away from shipping, but also as I've gotten more comfortable with my body, I am pansexual. I do love women's bodies on other people. but I struggle with gender dysphoria when it comes to my own gender identity. And I'm just not, I wasn't for a very long time comfortable with my body sexually. And of course, so then the fantasies that I would consume were as far away from reality of what I actually look like, what my body actually is. And had to deal with more kind of this almost sanitized view of reality of something I could fantasize about, something I could escape. It was escapism fantasy for a while. But it does bring an interesting point, because that's not the only reason why people tend to favor male and male relationships and ships. There's other reasons, and there's probably reasons for you or other people that are more important than, you know, I'm sure not everybody hates their body, but there's a few reasons that I've kind of picked apart, and I'm going to go over for a moment or two that I think are at least in my experiences and my observing of fandom have kind of played a part, but I'm also very curious to hear if there's anything else anyone else has on the subject that they think would be interesting. So if you want to, I don't think there's a comment thing on any of these, but send me a message, Twitter, whatever. I'd really be interested in knowing. But another, one of the reasons that besides, you know, either self-hatred or self-misogyny, is there's just this unfortunate fact that in mainstream media, the main characters or the most developed characters are usually straight white men. And I think that's just something we can see as a trend in things. It's gotten better through the years for sure, especially nowadays with certain children's media or cartoons or things like that. But it's still definitely an issue that has plagued our media for a long time and is still ongoing. And if you look at any of the really popular fandoms, you know, Super Hulock, let's take a stroll down memory lane at Super Hulock, which was a combination of Supernatural, Doctor Who, and Sherlock, which are shows with the main characters being straight white men, that the you know, were kind of meant to be power fantasies as well as you know, thirst traps in certain ways. There was issues with queer baiting in some of the shows, especially Sherlock. There was issues with masculinity, for sure. Supernatural had a huge thing with that. And in all, I think if you look at it that way, you realize that when the media you're consuming is shoving these characters in your face, and they are the only developed characters in a show, well, of course they're going to be the characters that people get obsessed about. Especially when you start hyping up those characters as being, you know, desirable in some way. It creates this almost sense of, like, celebrity status. Not for the celebrities themselves, who are already celebrities and are actors and that's their job, but for the characters. And I think that plays a part in it, because if you look at it, especially things like anime, there's very few well-developed female characters. So of course the female characters aren't really going to get as much content, unless of course you're a content creator who goes out of their way to try to almost balance the field. But even then, when you're dealing with fandom and fan fiction, for example, you're creating something with a base already. And if that base is rotten, then the stuff you're creating is not going to be very desirable to create for. With a few caveats and exceptions, and of course, this is once again blanket statements. Another reason why I think it becomes such an issue is that when you have these characters that either, say, you personally don't want to fantasize about because they're too close to reality, or they have something about them that you hate, for example, your body, or whether they are the only well-developed characters in a show because they are the main characters and the main characters are white, straight males, or because you're fetishizing them. And I think that is a part that people do talk about, but normally they talk about it to kind of almost shame the female creators. And the idea that, you know, women who are writing gay content are fetishizers, which I'm sure there is a portion of the fandom that is, and that's an issue that we can definitely talk about for quite a while and that deserves to be talked about. But it's strange how no one ever has that argument against male creators for lesbian relationships, which I can think off the top of my head, quite a few comic creators actually that I know of who create lesbian characters and who write and draw these lesbian characters, but are never really accused of being fetishizers except for maybe by subculture communities. And it's kind of a little hypocritical, wouldn't you think? Because at the end of the day, the reason why a large portion of the community might be accused of such isn't because the content they're creating is disrespectful, although it can be in some cases, or because they're, you know, objectifying people and their relationships, which, once again, in some cases they are and definitely needs to be addressed. But because somehow female content that is fantasy is sinful, males are allowed to have fantasies, whether it's power fantasies of being a hero, you know, a macho man, whatever it is, or whether it's them getting the girl, or whether it's them having sex with the girl, or whether it's having sex with, like, twins, or whatever it is, or, you know, anything like that. There's so many power fantasies out there, so many male-centric fantasies out there in our media. I could list them all and still have time for, you know, years going down. But female-led fantasies are not seen in the same light, and are not seen as positively as much as male fantasies are positive. They're more just norm. And I think that plays a part. Because if you go your life without being let to experience these fantasies in your everyday life, whether it's, you know, once again, like I said, there's so much we could talk about fetishization of queer people that I'm going to probably do it in another episode. But whether you think that that is correct or not, most women don't, or just aren't allowed to fantasize. And so when they do, it's this strange, almost liminal space of, you know, I know a lot of creators who want to be able to create for women, but feel like they can't because they just don't know how to. And their only experience with it is through the male gaze. The only way that they know that women are desirable, that they're beautiful, that all this is through these ideas of society. And I think at this point I've kind of devolved into a little bit of a feminist rant, but we'll just go with it. Just settle down, you know, get comfortable. But of course, society always has its root into fandom, and the reasons why certain things are popular in fandom can sometimes stem from society itself, whether it's a counterculture, whether it's a subculture, or just a, you know, a direct link to society. There's added who's definitely that build off of society's expectations of content creators and people in general and audiences. And to kind of bring this right back to stans and kins, if you are a person who gets obsessed about things, whether you're a stan or a kin or just an obsessive person, then you're going to look at these examples of the characters that you are obsessing over, whether they're the main characters in a series or not. And if these are the people you're fantasizing about and you get obsessive, then that's just a double whammy of obsession plus fantasy, where suddenly, I mean, you're not really thinking about what reality actually says about these relationships, whether they're realistic, whether they're healthy, whether any of these things, which, I mean, I'm not one to say that shipping needs to be healthy or that fandom needs to be healthy, in the sense of, like, I think there's a large portion of experimentation that is done through fandom that is good and that, you know, is not hurting anyone. But there are certain things that if you're not aware of what you're consuming and you start internalizing the things that it's the same thing with media, with mainstream media. You know, they talk about violence and video games all the time and all this and the desensitization of things. Well, you can flip it on its coin and talk about it in the sense of a fandom as well, in the sense of how much of what you are consuming and you are obsessing over are you actually happy with? And I mean that in a perfectly honest way, because a lot of times, from just personal experience, the people get obsessed about character-wise are not well-adjusted, happy, content people. They're extremely flawed, which, I mean, that's humanity for you. Everyone is flawed, which you would think would be healthy, but it's almost as if by obsession, the negative traits are the ones that are being exemplified, if that makes sense. People will distill characters into very obvious tropes and make their own kind of batch of characterization through that. And if you're fantasizing about this and you're obsessing over this and you're shipping this, what does that say about your happiness? That, you know, you are getting so consumed by a fantasy that you've forgotten reality. And I think that's the real issue with a lot of stans or kins or whatever, because the fantasy becomes more important than real life, than real people, than the people around you, than yourself even. And it's this very strange mob mentality that kind of arises from the ashes of whatever it is that you're consuming. And I don't know where I'm going with this. This point has kind of gotten lost as I've started rambling. But kind of to hopefully put it back onto track, I've talked a lot about why, potentially, this is definitely, oh, you want to say hi, Tofu? Can you hear him? Is he going to meow again? Sorry, completely distracted by the cat. I guess you have to have one in every episode. I don't think I'm going to cut that one out. But yeah, so you, oh, I've completely lost track. Look what you've done to me, kitty cat. Right. Shipping. So I don't think, as I've kind of mentioned a lot about, some types of, some theories, let's go with that. Some theories that I've come across, either I've made myself or I've seen other people propose onto why certain trends in shipping are more popular than others, why some characters are shipped more often than others. I haven't really touched into different character traits that I've seen get picked up a lot in shipping, but I suppose I can cover that later. But I did want to say that as much as I've been talking about a very kind of female-identified point of view, that's not the reality. Fandom has always been diverse, and it will only get more and more diverse even as it sort of amalgamates into other things. I honestly believe that, once again, some of the stuff I'm going to talk about is controversial. Some of the stuff I don't even believe 100%, if that makes sense. I do feel like there's an issue in fandoms with shipping, with toxicity, with shipping wars, with fetishization, with sexism and transphobia. The amount of times that I've stumbled across content where people have, as they say, gender-bent characters so that the relationship can be gay or straight when it otherwise wouldn't be, is outstanding. And as much as I don't think that gender bents on their own are transphobic, because playing with gender is a natural part of being a human, and it's healthy for us to all kind of experiment with what gender means to us, there's a certain element of it that is transphobic, and that is, you know, either homophobic or whatever the case may be, sexist, especially when you are erasing somebody's identity just so you can make a ship more palatable to you. That is the definition of disrespect in my mind. So there's some issues that in fandom that I haven't really gone over, or I've touched very briefly, or I've touched only one side of, and I want to make it clear that as much as I might be putting my point of view out there, it is unformed in a lot of cases. This is me just ranting on the internet about thoughts that enter my brain 1 second before they exit my mouth. So I just want to make that clear. Because I do feel like there is experiences that I am unaware of in fandom. I am obviously not a gay male. I don't know what the experience would be like if that was my identity and I was living in fandom and these were the things I was seeing. I can only come from it from a sense of a gender-confused, sexually-confused, pansexual. So, once again, this is a bit of a TMI episode, so I'm going to bring this back kind of into my own experiences and stop talking so general to kind of perhaps hopefully save myself from putting my foot in my mouth too much. One trope that I have kind of myself had to deal with and learn from and identify that is not necessarily unhealthy on its own, but in shipping can go too far. And especially just in general, fandom cases go too far too, is when I create content in a lot of cases, especially fan fiction, I do it from a sense of spite. And I joke with this, with my beta about this all the time, that I will see something in the source content that I don't like. And I will write a story out of spite that will change that in some way. And I think that's just a natural, you know, effect of being a fanfiction writer. I think a lot of people can identify with that. But in some cases, if you're not aware of where you're coming from when you're writing these stories or creating this content or drawing this art, it can come across as disrespectful. Not necessarily to the content creators, which 9 times out of 10 are never going to see the content you're creating, but to the characters or your audience who are going to be seeing it. An example of this that I can think of is in the past, having, you know, out of spite, not liked the way that a character was written, I killed them off, or I, you know, wrote them out of the story, or I wrote them in such a horrible light that the audience who was reading just could not like them at all. And I touched this briefly about bashing. That can be therapeutic in some cases, of just writing a character that's so unlikable that, you know, you almost like them for it. But in a lot of cases, it comes from a sense of hatred to the way that the character, either something about them you identify with and you don't like that, or something about the way that the character is written and you are uncomfortable with. And that in its own can be unhealthy, not just to you, but to the people who are reading your stuff. So that's one thing that I did have to kind of grow out of, and I'm glad I did. But when it comes to shipping, that's, once again, going back on a point I made earlier. When you're bashing a character just to get them out of the picture for another ship to take its place, or, for example, you have, like, I can't tell you the amount of times I've read a fan fiction where the end relationship was two males, but it started with one of the main characters dating a girl, and they had to break up at some point dramatically and with a lot of feelings left over, and, like, the girl was always the one that was in the wrong for it. And her only point to be there was to be the catalyst for the relationship between the two men to start. And as much as I am not someone who wants to consume straight content or really likes straight ships or anything like that, that just felt so disrespectful to me. To, you know, it felt sexist in some cases. And it also felt like, once again, fetishization. But it is a fantasy people have of that, like, you know, wanting to have drama, wanting to have tension, wanting all this, and to have this kind of resolution in some way. And yeah, it's one thing that I've struggled with, not necessarily personally, but just, like, as a reader, as an audience member, just having writing or content that I otherwise enjoyed immensely be ruined by the idea that the only use of a female character is to be a catalyst for male characters' success, which is not great and is gross and is one of the reasons why people complain about mainstream media all the time. So that's another one. As well, I also, one thing that I kind of struggled with a lot, that it took a while to get out of my brain, was the idea that to make an interesting story, you had to have shipping, if that makes sense. We get so excited about shipping, about relationships, about romance, about sex, in media, in life in general, that sometimes you have to just step back and realize that the story doesn't need it, the characters don't need it, life isn't always about romance or sex or whatever. As much as, like, it's human nature to want to connect with people and all this, and there's so much you could talk about in that aspect, sometimes somebody just wants to go on an adventure, slay some goblins, you know, build a castle, whatever it is their goal is. You don't need to have romantic tension in a story to make it a good story. And I think we've just gotten so bombarded by romantic taglines and subplots, and, you know, we're so used to it at this point. Every epic story has to have a romance or a romantic tension or a failed romance or anything like this, and people all the time will say, oh, well, that's because, you know, that's real life for you. People want to have those connections. And it's like, that's not true. Not everybody wants to have that romantic ending, wants to have that, you know, tension, the whatever it is, either you're asexual, aromantic, or even just tired about it. And, you know, you sometimes you just want to write a nice little story without any romance in it. And I think that's almost grown as I've gotten older, and romantic stuff has just become more and more prevalent in the media that we've been consuming, or that I've been consuming, at least. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with this. Once again, this is a rant, a ramble, a stopgape episode, if you would. But I do think that there are things that we can kind of look at in our own preferences and biases and the ways that we interact with fandom or consume media and all this, that whether you're a shipper or not, whether you're a kin or a stan or obsessive, or you're just like a casual fan that's on the outskirts of whatever it is that you are part of, there's ways that you can look internally into your biases and preferences and the things that you find annoying about fandom or the things that you really, really like about it. And in a lot of cases, you know, it's personal preference, or it's just what you are raised with, or what biases you have, or anything like this. But some of it is things that are learned behaviors that you can learn to change. And if you look into yourself and you see the seeds of something that you think is going to be, you know, negative in the future, some bit of bitterness or anger or, you know, obsession, I think as long as you can look into yourself and identify those little seedlings, you will stop them from growing. Those seeds will only grow if you leave them with no light. And with that very poetic and cryptic message, I think I'm going to sign off tonight. And I would like to thank anyone who has kept through this very strange episode, as well as just thank anyone for listening in the first place. This is an experiment of a podcast, which I'm having fun with, but I know is not, maybe not everybody's cup of tea. And if you have any questions or comments, or you want to argue me about, well, actually, if you want to argue to me about it, be respectful. But otherwise, you can catch me on Twitter at @cyanide_lemons. And I will catch you on the flip side. Thank you, listeners. Good night and goodbye.